Thank you for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about, oh my goodness, Hashtag No Limits is about people who have been had limits placed upon them by society, but who are busting through those limits. I apologize. I don't know why I just botched up the introduction there. I've only done this 197 times before, but anyway, Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. Very quick science lesson for those who may not know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into cells and then reforms into the butterfly, but it's not finished struggling. It has to fight and work its way out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere that it's going to go. While none of that seems or can be easy, neither is busting through limits that society places upon a person. And today I'm going to bring a guest on who's going to talk to us about some financial literacy, and specifically financial literacy for people who have someone with a disability in their life, because the financial literacy that they do and need is slightly different. And so I'm really excited to bring Stacy on, and I'll bring her on in just a minute. But before I do, I want to make sure that you like or subscribe to this channel. We are coming up on the 200th episode, and you do not want to miss that episode nor any other episode. So be sure you like and subscribe. And when it comes time for that 200th episode, we will be doing raffles throughout the episode of Cardinal baseball tickets, Holiday World Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana tickets. And I've got some other great prizes as well. Make sure today, if you're watching us live, you give us a hashtag live. And if you're watching in the replay, you give us a hashtag replay. And so first of all, we have Fran from Southern Illinois reaching out to us from Grace Community Baptist Church. And I appreciate you being here with us today, Fran. And so I'm going to bring Stacy on. Are you ready, Stacy?
Hi. Yep.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stacy had something very unexpected and, well, not totally very unexpected, not totally unexpected, and very exciting happened recently. And if she wants to tell you about that, I will let her. But just go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about you and what you do.
Yeah. So my unexpected news a little bit is my little girl decided to arrive 3 weeks early. So she,
so exciting.
Yes, such a blessing, but we were kind of expecting her more towards the middle of March, and she made her arrival at the end of February. So I am running on a little bit of sleep, but I'm happy to be here and to talk with you guys today. I am a financial coach that specializes in working with parents or caregivers that have a child with a disability. In my former life, I was a special education teacher and administrator, and worked with parents, kind of understanding the special education process as well as working with teachers. So really have a heart for helping families. And what I've noticed is that there are a lot of, you know, things that special needs families have to kind of overcome and manage. And sometimes that's tricky. And then some of the financial kind of decisions that they have to make are a little bit more complex than maybe another family. So I really like being able to help support them in understanding all their different options, figuring out where to start, making sure that they're accessing the right resources, and really just providing that support and that non-judgmental, you know, person to help guide them kind of manage next steps that they should do.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how long, and I apologize if I missed it, were you a special education teacher?
So I was a teacher for about 6 years, and then I kind of moved into the admin realm. But as an admin, I went into the classroom, still supported the teachers. Nice. And then I got to go into all the fun meetings when maybe the school and the parent, you know, maybe they were stuck or they weren't really sure about what we should do next to kind of help brainstorm, come up with different ideas, and then also kind of model and do a lot of professional development. But for me, I really enjoyed that work. I also have a young son, and I realized that when I came home, I was kind of completely drained and I wasn't really able to be as present as I wanted to be for my family. So I had this opportunity to kind of take a step back and start this business. So that's kind of my reason behind it, because I do think, you know, they're only one little ones, and it's really important to, you know, making sure, and what I help my families do too, is making sure that we're aligning, you know, our values and how we're spending our money, because they are finite, but when they are aligned, then, you know, it can help exponentially and make things feel even that much more special.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that. Yeah. I realized, I only taught K through eight. And so as far as, you know, like all the financial needs and financial options for families with someone eligible for special education, I really didn't think about that stuff until some of the students that I had worked with and I kept in contact with, their families were getting through high school and into adulthood. And then these parents would reach back out to me and ask me questions, and I didn't have any idea. And so I'm happy to say that I have some idea, but still, because it's not my personal experience, because I haven't had to set up some of the things that we might get into today. And I haven't had to have the same mindset approach. As I said, and as you also mentioned, the concepts that making the right things the priority, I don't even know if right things is the correct way, but just understanding what should be done and maybe what could be put off or what could be, you know, completely taken off of a list. And so just having that understanding, and I think it's important for everyone. And I feel that a lot of people don't have financial literacy, and I'm blessed. My husband taught that in high school. And so, you know, he has that, but I mean, my parents raised me well and they taught me those kinds of things. And, so we've had investments for a long time, and it didn't take a lot of money at the beginning. It doesn't take a lot of money now, but you know, it's, I think, a lot less than most people anticipate. Have you seen that as well, that people are concerned, oh, I don't need to, you know, do this or that. I don't have much. I don't need to put it in a trust, or I don't need to, you know, get a will or get a, you know, investment account.
Yeah. I think it really is it can really depend, you know, on the specific family and kind of structures. I've worked with some families that are very, you know, forward thinking and, okay, I need to put all these things in place. And then there's other families that, you know, they're trying to just kind of get through the week and thinking about, even just going on a vacation or, you know, stepping away from that caregiver role and letting somebody else kind of do some for their child or even their adult child is difficult. So that's why I think personalization is so important. And just to kind of clarify too, because I'm a financial coach, which is a little different than like being a certified financial planner. So I believe you've had some of those on your podcast before too. Yes. And so they kind of work with, like, you have investments. These are the different investments you should do. This is long-term, things like that. As a financial coach, I kind of go into some of the groundwork previously. So making sure that we have a budget, that we don't have a cash flow problem, that we're accessing the resources, no matter your child's age, that you're eligible for. So, there's been lots of families that have 3 or 4 year olds and they're paying out of pocket for maybe speech language therapy or some other therapies, and they're not hooked up yet to the school system, when the school system mm-hmm. could also offer them, you know, some additional therapy. So making sure that they're really connected in their particular area is something that I do as well, because I feel like that's so important. And one thing that's a little tricky is that it's, although it's a federal law, states have kind of adopted their own. And then each mm-hmm. individual place, like where you live, there are some different resources. So unless you happen to hear about those resources, or you have a parent friend who maybe has a child with a disability, you might not know all the different things. So that's another thing that I help parents kind of look at and make sure that they're responsible for. But what's been helpful for me is kind of looking, because there's so many different things you could talk about when you talk about finances. So mm-hmm. I kind of created this financial wheel that I like to kind of walk people through, because that can kind of help conceptualize for them, okay, this is the area that I feel like I need help with. Or maybe we're going to start here, and then after this is good, then now we're going to move on to something else. So it really provides some structure, as opposed to, well, maybe I should save some money, which is what right. some people say.
Right. Well, thank you very much for that clarification, because I do think I was kind of describing more of a financial planner and those kinds of areas than a financial coach. So I apologize, and I thank you for that. So you talked about your financial wheel. Would you like me to pull that up now, or do you want to talk sure. about some other things first? Okay.
Yeah, we can just kind of pull it up.
Maybe we can. Oh, here. I have to figure out how to do it. It was already there. And I was like, why is it asking me to remove it? I was confused. So I apologize to the audience for that. So let's give it, I'm going to give it the full screen so they can see it as much as possible.
Great. So yeah, this is the wheel. And I like to think of it because it's all the pieces, you know, play a role, right? And they're all important. And I kind of have a freebie that goes through, and people can kind of look and see, okay, these are the areas that I need to kind of focus on. But, you know, really kind of just, when we'll just sort of walk through it, you know, mindset, when we talk about money mindset, a lot of that has been developed when you were younger, and mm-hmm. you might have like particular money scripts. And what's sometimes interesting is when, you know, a couple comes together and they have different money mindsets, so different ways right. to maybe handle money. And it's important that they're, you know, kind of on the same page, and that they're also aware of some of these things, because some people kind of have it, and it's kind of an unconscious thing unless you bring it to light, that maybe, you know, I'm not good with money, or only rich people, you know, rich people are bad, or, you know, some of these just scripts right. that kind of live in our head that can really impact the way we spend our money, the way we save our money, and like just the way that we view things. So I do think that that's an important part to go through with my clients, and really making sure that they understand. And then if need be, you know, kind of looking at kind of reworking those thoughts, because, you know, our thoughts do impact our behaviors, and, you know, it can kind of be like a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I often do. One of the very first things is kind of look at mindset.
Yeah. And that's something that I have found, when I talk about my understanding behaviors or my cognitive bias talks, is that we have those family traditions, those systems of meanings that are developed, like you said, in our early years. We see how our parents deal with money, where handle money, and in some families, money is talked about regularly and openly, and other families, it's not talked about, and it's, you know, it's never even discussed, as, you know, how much is in a savings, or how we have to pay our bills, or, you know. And then also, like you said, some people have that mindset of, well, rich people don't work and they don't deserve it, and, you know, they have all this negative attitude. And so, yeah, I appreciate you bringing all of that information forward.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes people come to me and they know, like, hey, I have student loans, or I have, you know, $20,000 in credit card debt, and I know that that's holding me back from doing the different things that I want to do. So that's, we also, if it applies, you know, look at that debt and credit kind of piece and then come up with a good kind of repayment strategy for that. And it varies from family to family. Like some families mm-hmm. are able to maybe use some tax refunds to kind of put towards their debts. So that can be helpful. I also use a tool. It's called PowerPay. It's from the University of Utah. It's actually a free tool that anybody can use. And you can put in all of your debts and they will kind of come up with the best way to pay them off, whether that is through, you know, you pay the highest interest or so that avalanche method or that snowball method where you, you know, pay finish the debt that's the smallest amount and just to get rid of that. And then you roll the payment into the next debt. So that's been really helpful as a useful tool as well to just kind of see and to see what would look like maybe if you made some extra payments for that debt to be reduced.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that out because so often, even when I was young, I would only make the minimum payment on my credit card bill and thought, oh, okay, well, you know, I could pay more, but if I don't pay more, I can use that money somewhere else to do something else. And it took me a little while to catch on to the fact that if I only continued paying the minimum amount, the bill was going to continue to get bigger, whether I added any money to it or not.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, credit card interest rates now are not uncommon to be over 20%.
Right.
Car loans are now, you know, sometimes 7% and 8% when they used to be much lower than that. So that compound interest, it's great when you get it for investments, but when you're paying it for the credit cards, you know, then that's working against you and that can really hold you back. Sometimes too with special needs families, maybe they have some different medical debts. So kind of working, depending, you know, a lot of hospitals will work with you like on a payment plan, but you have mm-hmm. to ask for that if that's something, you know, that applies to your specific situation. So that's another area that we can spend some time in, making sure that the families have a good plan for dealing with their debt or credit, or, you know, if they're getting ready to potentially looking at buying a house, you know, what are some of the things that they need to do ahead of time to help build that credit? That kind of also falls under that.
Right. One thing that I found out several years ago was, for example, a hospital, if you approach them and say, if you have, for example, enough of a credit limit on a credit card, or if you can take a loan out from a bank, if you say, hey, I want to pay my bill off all at once, they will often reduce the total cost. And so that's something that a lot of people don't know either. And, you know, again, though, you have to look at if they have a payment plan and they're not going to charge you interest mm-hmm. versus, you know, you getting a loan and having some interest charged, is it in the long run going to be cheaper, even with what they've knocked off the bill? But yeah, I mean, we've had to do that a couple of times where we've had a hospital bill and it's like, well, we can't pay it all off right now, but we can pay it off in 3 months on our credit card. And if we pay it all off to the hospital, they reduce the cost. And for us, it worked because it was less with even the interest on the credit card. Because we had, you know, this was, like you said, a while ago when credit cards had lower interest rates. I don't know that would be necessarily of a benefit today, but just another thing to think about. And I feel like one of the things that holds people back is they don't ask. And I think if we asked more questions, we might have more opportunities to pay things than what we realize.
Yeah, I think part of it, we might not ask, and then sometimes we're maybe afraid to ask, or we maybe feel some shame around it. Mm-hmm. but especially like medical, I found them to be like helpful to, because I mean, they want their payments. So they're right. going to kind of work with you. And sometimes they're able to do a much lower interest rate than maybe what a credit card would be able to do, or mm-hmm. they're able to deduct. So I know sometimes families don't feel like they can do that kind of on their own. So that's another right. thing that I can, you know, help support with. But it is good to know, you know, for your audience that these options are out there, that they can request these things. You might be told no, but a lot right. of times they'll, well, we can't do this, but we are able to do A, B, and C, which is better right. than that original offer.
Right. Yes, absolutely. All right. So continuing back on the wheel.
Yeah. So then the next part is resources, which I've kind of touched on a little bit. But this could be community resources. It could be school resources. It could be looking at, you know, ABLE accounts potentially. So ABLE accounts are Achieving a Better Life Experience. And what they are is if someone with a disability was diagnosed before age 26, then you're allowed to have this account. And it's similar to a 529 account. But what you can use it for is you can use it for tax deductions that are qualified disability expenses. So you can contribute $19,000 a year into it, and it's able to grow like an investment account, but then you're also able to kind of take money out of it for anything, almost anything related to the child that is going to make their life better, which is pretty broad. So I kind of like to think of it as like a maybe like a HSA on steroids. So yes, okay. you could use it for medical things, because we were talking about medical things, but you could also use it for, you know, a family. If a family goes on a trip to Disney and the child with a disability goes too, their plane ticket, their food, all of their expenses, you could take out of this ABLE account. The other cool thing about the ABLE account is it doesn't count under their assets if they do receive Social Security income. So Social Security income, not to get too much in the weeds, but they're only allowed to have $2,000 in actual mm-hmm. assets. But this ABLE account, you're allowed to have up to $100,000 in there. So it's wow. actually an avenue and a resource for the person with a disability that they can use for a lot of different things and still have some assets. So it's a really valuable account that not everybody utilizes to their full extent. So that's another thing when I talk about resources that is really important. And it's something, the other piece is, you know, it's something you can do without maybe doing a special needs trust. So if you maybe don't have a significant amount of money, but you want to pass some money on through, you could do that through an ABLE account and actually deposit it there. The downside, or one thing to keep in mind, is that you can only do it up to the gift limit, which this year is $19,000. So I know I said a lot right there, but it's just, it's a really cool account.
A question that I have is with these ABLE accounts, I know here in Illinois where I live, the schools are required now when they give out the IEPs or the IEP draft to include information about the ABLE account. So what are the criteria to be eligible for an ABLE account?
Yeah. So to be eligible for an ABLE account this year, you have to have a disability that occurred before age 26. In 2026, that age is actually going to change to 46.
Wow.
Yeah, which is going to include many more people, which is going to be great. Mm-hmm. as well as, you know, those that might have acquired disabilities through accidents, military, things of that nature as well. And then the other piece is that the disability has to be certified. And some people, a lot of people ask, well, you know, what does that really mean? And it's pretty broad, but there is a form, and I can send you the link, but it's a form that they recommend on the ABLE website that a doctor just signs off that says, yes, so-and-so has X disability or has been diagnosed with X disability. I have not heard of anybody who has been kind of called to produce that form, but I still recommend that families have that so that it is a certified disability by a doctor, so not just by the school district.
Okay. So that helps me a lot because I was thinking about specific learning disability. That's an eligibility to get special education, but to my knowledge, there's not a diagnosis of a specific learning disability under that term. But if a child or a person has dyslexia or dysgraphia or dyscalculia or some other medical disability that has been diagnosed, then they would be eligible, I think, based on what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So that's good, because that's what I was wondering. Like, okay, they're sending this out to every single student who has an IEP. And I was trying to figure out if every single student would be eligible, but it doesn't necessarily sound like it would be an automatic. If you have an IEP, you're eligible for ABLE.
Not automatically, but highly likely. Okay. Because it's pretty broad. The one just really great resource that does all about ABLE is the ABLE National Resource Center. So that's www.ablenrc.org.
I think I got it right. Let's see. I'm going to show this up. Did I get it right? ablenrc.org?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
All right. So that did go into the chat. So whether you're watching on YouTube or you're eventually, when this is only a podcast and you're only listening, you can go to the YouTube channel and find this link directly there.
Yes. And they kind of walk you through how to set up an ABLE account, where you can set up with the ABLE account, more information about those qualified disability expenses, what's included there. And it's a really helpful place to get started. And again, another cool kind of thing about ABLE accounts is you can do them on your own. Like, families can just go and set up this account. Some states do have tax deductions for setting up an ABLE account the same way that they may have for a 529 account. It just kind of depends on your specific state. Most states have their own ABLE account. There's just a few that don't. But just because you're like in Virginia, I'm in Virginia, and we have Virginia's ABLE. Other people, you don't have to be a Virginia resident to be part of the Virginia ABLE account. Oh, okay. So there's pros and cons, but definitely something to look at. So that's definitely something that we dive in more, you know, kind of looking at those resources, seeing, you know, is Social Security, is that going to be something that it might be appropriate for the child or not? Are there wait lists that we should get on for the child? What do they have as far as independent living? You know, kind of those pieces to kind of all fall under the resources and overall costs that families might need to consider.
And is there a minimum to open an ABLE account? Like, could somebody open it with $5, or do you need $100 or $500? Or
I'm not sure about the minimum. I do believe that there's like a fee You know, so if you probably only had $25, it probably wouldn't be worth doing because there is that fee, that monthly fee that goes along with it. But I don't believe that there's a minimum. I can double check that.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Sure. So let's get back to the wheel.
All right. Let's see. All right. So then insurance and kind of protection, that kind of falls under those together. Looking at insurance for the family, long-term care insurance, do they have a will? Do they have a plan? Kind of having those pieces in place. Some families are really great and they have different things, and some haven't really talked about that or looked at that. So that's another area that I can help. Vision. So this one is really looking at that longer term vision for the family, for the child. You know, what's it going to look like in 5 years? What's it going to look like in 10 years? What are we thinking after high school? Are we thinking that the child's going to live independently? Are they going to need some support? And then from that vision, how are we going to support that? So that's another place that we spend some time kind of looking at. And for some families, they haven't really been able to kind of think kind of some of those longer term visions or even just that ideal. But by coming up with that, then we're able to kind of backstep and figure out, okay, this is the vision. This is what we want after high school. What are some of the things we need to put in place now so that we can reach that overall vision?
Right. And sometimes that's difficult because their families sometimes have to be so much in the now that to even think about what next week will look like is seemingly impossible. And so to think, you know, years down the road, sometimes they just don't have the bandwidth to do that. But you have to make space. You have to make time because this is important, not just for yourself, but for your child.
Yeah. And I think that it's, as you said, it's not uncommon for families just to have a kind of a hard time with that, or even just thinking through, well, what potentially could it look like, or what would I want it to look like? But I've also found that when we do that exercise and really spend some time with it, then maybe doing some of the day-to-day things now become a little easier because we have a clearer idea of what we want, you know, in the future. And of course, that can change and shift over time, but even just having a general direction that we're going can be really helpful.
Right. Absolutely.
And then next is emergency fund or savings. The general rule for an emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of living expenses that are put away. I think, especially right now with all the things going on with the economy, even having a larger emergency fund, to me and those that I've worked with, it helps create some more sense of security to know that, okay, even if things change drastically, maybe I have a year of expenses covered that I don't have to worry. Or, you know, sometimes families, there's someone that, you know, gets sick or they have to take off or reduce their hours for a period of time. You know, having that emergency fund, you're able to kind of think through and really do what's best for your family at that time and not be so stressed about money. So I'm a real big proponent in building that up.
And so you said it's a savings account, but what if you have a 401, 401k. Yeah, 401k. Thank you. I'm like, I feel like there's a letter behind there. Because I have a 403b, but I know that because that was an educator and I was like, that's not the right. And I was wanting to throw the wrong letter in there. So if you have money in an investment account like that from a job that you've had, do you recommend to also have the savings account?
Yes. So that's a great question. So the downside, you know, having the 403B or the IRA or the 401k, they're great. They're retirement vehicles. So if you need to access that money, oftentimes before retirement age, you're going to be hit with a penalty. And that penalty can be 20%. And then like right now, if let's say you needed that money today, will you be selling your stocks when the stocks are low? So that would actually be like at a detriment to you versus if you maybe had the money in a high yield savings account or even in a certificate of deposit. The certificate of deposits, they can run from like 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. They sometimes have penalties too if you take them out early, but they're not to the same degree as taking money out of your retirement accounts. So I like to look at the retirement accounts as a separate bucket. Yes, it's there if you absolutely need it. But when we say emergency fund, we want that money to be accessible to you if you need it that day, or if you need, you know, in the next week. We don't want you to have to wait for the markets to maybe go up, maybe go down. And then as much as possible, we want you to have as much of your own money back as possible. So if you did have to access your 401k early, you would be hit with that penalty.
Right. Yep. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And then value spending, which we've kind of talked about a little bit, but one exercise that I like to do is actually go through your expenses for the last month and kind of highlight the things that are, you know, really important to you or that were really enjoyable. And what I found is, you know, maybe not all the expenses listed, you know, are things that really align to maybe your values. Sometimes, you know, as special needs families, you might pay a little more for convenience. It might be easier to get Instacart versus actually go to the grocery store. And so that expense might be worth it to you, but other things may not be. So as we were kind of looking and trying to figure out a good budget and good cash flow, really looking at your spending and making sure that the values align to that.
Yeah. And I appreciate that you said that because, you know, to me, going to the store by myself is easy. You know, even when my daughter was young, I if I really wanted to, I could, you know, have someone watch her pretty quickly. But that is often not the case with a family who has, you know, someone in them, in their family who has different needs. And so what I might value isn't necessarily going to be what someone else values, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And there should not be judgment or shame or, you know, anything negative, because if that's what a family needs, that's what a family needs. If that's what they choose to spend their money on and that's a value for them, then I don't think we should look down on them for, they have to take care of their own mental health too. And for a lot of parents, that's a mental health issue. Like, okay, I could just go get the groceries or I can just have the groceries delivered and I don't have to try to go, you know, get the child in the car and go to the store and do all the things and, you know, possibly have whatever happen at a store and maybe have to leave without the stuff anyway. And so I really appreciate that you said that in that way, that it's their value. What do they value?
Right. And we want to make sure that their spending aligns to their specific values. So sometimes, you know, we kind of look and see and we review and I don't see their values or they don't see their values in with their spending. And then that can kind of with that realization, oh, okay, this is why maybe I'm not really feeling fulfilled, or I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. Well, because I'm not spending on things that are really truly important to me. You know, yes, we all need electricity and water and a place to live and things like that, but really kind of looking and seeing, okay, what what is important, and then how can we maybe make some tweaks for that? And as you said, you know, the self-care is so important for caregivers and families, you know, so if somebody enjoys going, you know, I'm not one to get my nails done, but if somebody wants to go get their nails or go get their hair done, awesome. Let's figure out in our budget how we can make that happen so that you can do that. Because that half an hour or that hour, you know, once a month, that might be, you know, your me time. And that's really important for the overall health and support of the family as well.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. Thank you. Thank you for talking about that. All right. So what's next in our wheel?
Yeah. So then just the last part is really looking at those goals, which, yes, they're kind of aligned to that, the vision as well. But really, when we come up with goals, I like to look at what we're going to do really within the next month, and then in the next 3 months, and then year, and then 5 years, to really kind of hone in, you know, financially, where are we at, and what kind of things would you like, you know, would you like to do? So sometimes people come and, you know, yep, I want to get out of debt, or, you know, I just want to know where my money's going. Like I'm make good money, but I'm not sure. I don't feel like I'm saving enough or I have enough at the end. So whatever kind of specific goals, really kind of honing in on that so that we can make progress on that as well.
Beautiful. And so after you do this whole wheel with a client, what happens after that?
Yeah. So typically I work with clients for 3 months and we kind of focus in on which areas they may need. And then we kind of come up with their specific plan so that they're able to kind of achieve their goals. One of the big things for me is that I want to help and empower so that people feel more comfortable and confident about where they're headed. Cause that's another thing that I've seen is a lot of times, again, it's, you can't control so much, but mm-hmm. when you feel like you are making steps and you do have specific actions to take that you are in control over, I've also seen it kind of trickle down into other areas as well. When you feel more confident about your money, then maybe you're willing to stand up for, you know, maybe stand up to a teacher or advocate in another way, because you kind of build this confidence that then just kind of snowballs. So I love working with families and really kind of helping them, you know, move from step A to step B and really giving them that support.
Yeah, that's awesome. So your company is called Rewire Behavior. And I know that each of those letters of Rewire stands for something. But before we get to that, I do just want to talk about how people can find you. You are on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/ Rewire Behavior Financial Coaching. And Instagram, it's just instagram.com/ Rewire Behavior. And then on LinkedIn, it's just look up Stacey Blackshear and you might find her that way. And I do just want to pop up your website again, which we saw a glitch before we came on air. So if that glitch is still happening when you check this out, if you're listening on the podcast or you're listening to this in replay, just check back in a day or two and I'm sure everything will be fine. But if you need to get a hold of Stacey and the website still is being a little pain, you can just reach out to her at Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at Rewire Behavior, which is REWIREBEHAVIOR.com. So Stacy at RewireBehavior.com. And remember, if you are watching this near the beginning of March of 2025, she has just had a baby, so she might not be able to get back to you as quickly as maybe she will at other times. But I know that she will get back to you, especially if you email her. So let's go ahead and talk about what the letters in Rewire stand for. And do you want me to show your, is there anything after the behavior or the financial wheel to talk about the Rewire stuff or?
No. So in the financial wheel, if those that are interested, I kind of have like a little handout that they can actually go through on their own. If they're interested, they can shoot me an email and I can send that to them. And it kind of has some questions so they can kind of rate themselves. And it just goes into a little bit more depth than what we talked about.
Okay, perfect. So go ahead and tell me then, what do the letters in Rewire stand for?
Yeah. So this is kind of the process that I use to kind of look at my own kind of financial life and kind of put myself on a path where I could really spend the time the way that I wanted to, you know, align to my values and spend my money. So they've kind of been tweaked over the years, but it's kind of the basis. So the very first thing is really kind of to reassess, you know, your financial reality. So kind of where are you at? And that oftentimes is really getting clear on your expenses, your cash flow, as well as your net worth with those assets and debts that you may have. And it's really important to put everything down. Sometimes we like to kind of sugarcoat or only look at one piece, but we need to bring in all the accounts to really get a picture. A lot of times I found that, you know, not everybody has done this, or maybe they did it like 10 years ago or before they got married, and things have changed. So it's really important to kind of, when we're starting, go ahead and lay everything out so that we can get a clear picture.
Perfect.
And then from there, we want to make sure we want to establish those clear financial goals. So, okay, this is where we're at. Where do we want to be in 3 months, 6 months, a year, and come up with those. And then the next part is to weave together, you know, a plan. Like, how are we going to get there? We have these beautiful goals. If we have the goal to pay off our credit cards, okay, how are we going to do that? Are we going to take a second job? Are we going to make some extra payments? Are we going to reduce some of our expenses? What are some of the things that we're going to do in order to achieve that?
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
And then the next part is invest. And this investment could be investing in the stock market or potentially even investing in yourself. Maybe there's maybe a course, maybe there's something that you would like to learn how to do that could maybe increase your income. Kind of really look at that and become more aware. So to kind of strengthen that plan. Next step is invest. And then as you're running through that plan, we need to then review how it's been going. So review and adjust your plans and actions. I found that sometimes we come up with a plan and then we just let it go and we don't kind of look back to see, okay, how's it working? Or, you know, I thought I could make an extra $200 a month to my credit cards, but I realized that I can't. What's the new plan, or how am I going to shift and kind of spend some time with that? And then the next part is really taking that empowered action. You feel comfortable. We have the plan in place. We maybe tweaked it, reviewed and adjusted. Okay. What are you doing moving forward for your financial goals as well as your family?
That's awesome. And how long did it take you to come up with all the acronym for Rewire?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a process, you know. So me personally, I kind of went through, you know, some ups and downs, as we all do. And kind of with a lot of reflection, trying to figure out, okay, because I went through a divorce previously. And so looking at that, I had to kind of come up with, okay, what am I going to do now? And how am I going to move forward? And so those were kind of some of the steps that I took.
Got it. Cool. Thank you. So I know that you mentioned before that you could send people, if they emailed you, that you would send them your little, what did you call it? I'm sorry.
little handout for them that kind of goes over the different areas and has them kind of assess to which areas, kind of a little self-assessment, right. Some questions to ask and things to consider that would be helpful for them.
Great. And I know you had also mentioned for my audience specifically, maybe a consultation with you.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about what that would be, how they would set that up, what you know,
yeah,
what
sure. they would
maybe talk about?
Yeah. So again, probably if my website's down right now, go ahead and you can just email me and we can just kind of talk about, you know, your specific family situation, what's going on. I can offer some support advice and then see potentially if it's a good fit for us to maybe work together or potentially how I could help you.
And you can work with anybody anywhere in the country, or do they need to be there in Virginia with you?
Yeah, no, we can do virtually anywhere. Just do meetings via Zoom. There's also kind of just some different handouts and things that I send virtually. If you happen to be in the Hampton Roads area, I always love to meet in person too, but that's definitely not required. I have clients all over.
And when you say all over, that was going to be my next question. Are you able to help people in other countries, or do you really just stay in the United States?
So as of now, I've just stayed in the United States. I think that some of the things are applicable throughout. The part that would be different that I would not be kind of an expert in, or would not feel comfortable calling myself an expert in, would be like the specific resources or some of the laws that they may have in their particular country that we don't have in the United States. But as far as kind of organizing your finances, helping with your mindset, your goals, that's certainly something that I can do. And I also work, I collaborate with another financial coach that is over in London as well. And so I do have the kind of that connection if need be.
Wonderful. All right. So, Stacey, we're getting close to ending time, and I just want to give you the opportunity. If there was something that you're like, I really want to talk about, or I really want to make sure we covered this, that if we haven't done that, that we take the time now to cover anything that we might have missed.
Yeah. So I guess one thing would be just for your audience, you know, that sometimes finances can kind of feel overwhelming. And so then we don't look at them. And then by not looking at them or putting them off or putting them to the side, they become bigger and bigger and bigger, like of an issue when maybe they don't have to be. So really kind of taking that next, you know, small step. So if that's kind of you and you're like, I'm just not sure, you know, feel free to email me. We can kind of talk. We can kind of see what would be best for you and how I can help. I'm all about, you know, helping families, because I know that the families are just so important and that you guys are doing so much in so many different areas. And so really, this is just something that I love to help support you in, to try to make your life a little easier and less stressful.
Yeah. I think we could all use less stress in our life.
Yeah.
I think everybody has an area, at least one, that they could use less stress in their life.
Yes.
For sure. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for being my guest today. And thank you for sharing all of that knowledge and your financial wheel. And I was really hoping we would get to see your new infant, but I understand, you know, wanting to let her do her thing while you're able to focus on this. And so I greatly appreciate that and your time today. So guys, remember, you know, if you're looking for a financial coach, reach out to Stacey Blackshear. Again, I'll pop up her website, and is rewirebehavior.com. And if you want to reach directly to her without going to the website, it is Stacey, S-T-A-C-Y, at rewirebehavior.com. And she will get back to you. And if you want that free handout that she mentioned before, be sure to reach out to her. Or if you want that free consult with her, make sure that you let her know that you saw her on hashtag No Limits and that you would like to talk with her more about that consultation. And then also, as I said at the beginning, it's almost the 200th episode, and I am really proud of that. I appreciate all the guests that I've had over the years. And so on April 1st, if all the guests that are scheduled between now and then show up and my shows can run, then that will be the 200th episode. So make sure that you've liked and subscribed to this channel on YouTube specifically, and that you don't miss that episode, but you definitely don't want to miss any episodes, because I'm always bringing you great, insightful people like Stacey and so many others that have been on my show. So thank you all for joining me. Have a great rest of your week. I'll see you next time.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.